Well, the beginning of a season that is so joyful and happy. And some people are cold, but it should be warm here. Oh, come all you faithful. Well, here you are. It's good. It's good to be here on this beautiful Sabbath morning, isn't it? No snow outside, but still a little bit cool, isn't it? Welcome to Point Loma. Those of you that are visiting, we're glad you're here this morning. Some of our family members are off visiting family, I'm sure. So it's the beginning of the time of year that we are reminded of Christ's birth. You know, our culture and our society tries hard in many ways to forget this and make it more secular and more commercialized. Tries to take away the memory of the birth of Jesus. So I think it's good news that we can come here and we don't have to worry about that, do we? We can remember that this is the time that we celebrate the birth of Jesus, the Son of God. You know, the title that I've chosen for today is there in your bulletins, The Mystery of Emmanuel. For hundreds and yes, even thousands of years, the mystery of the birth of Jesus has been philosophized about, has been scrutinized, has been theologized. Artists have drawn pictures of what they think took place. They've looked at it scientifically from so many different angles, trying to understand how God, the divine creator of the universe, could become human. How does that happen? How does that take place? And for thousands of years, I think medical science, of course, that, you know, there was really for thousands of years no medical science. There was a lot of mystery, mysterious disciplines that tried to explain how this would take place. And artists have tried, as I said before, artists have tried in many different ways to figure out how this took place, this transaction that God became a human. And I have to say that as I've read some of the history of theologians trying to explain it, they became more confusing, really. Only in recent time have we been able to understand somewhat how that took place. How did God become human? Well, first of all, we have to make sure that we understand that Jesus was 100% divine. He was not like some Greek myths and even early Christian theology tried to figure it out, and they sort of figured that, well, you know, Jesus, when he came to this earth, had to come through the many phases of the levels of heaven, and as he came through, he was less than fully divine. And there are still theologians that teach that. Unfortunately, that is not what the Bible records for us. Jesus was 100% God. Well, that still makes us scratch our head, don't you think, as we think about that? But today we understand that, thanks to modern science and modern medicine, that a woman can actually have children way beyond her childbearing years, through the process of frozen eggs or frozen embryos. And of course, we have the sperm banks and all these things that modern science has provided for us and said, okay, if you don't want to have your children now, you can go on with your career and you can become rich and famous and become a movie star and all those other things. And then when you're in your 50s, beyond childbearing years, you can have a baby. And so women are doing that today. And that's, I guess that's great, because we have evidence of children being born and they're growing up to be adults, and they are a product of this modern miracle. The mystery that we once thought was a mystery now is maybe possible. God, at some point in time, took the DNA of the divine and found a surrogate mother, which was Mary, and Mary had a child. Now that really had Joseph scratching his head. And of course the people during that time too, the religious leaders, the theologians, the doctors, the medical people, the scientists said, impossible. No way. Now you mind you, the scientists of the time period and the religious people, you know, the Greeks, the highly intelligent people understood this concept of a God being brought to this earth and a person being part God and part human. We have that, of course, we know that Zeus had a child on this earth and his name was Hercules. Come on. You guys watch, oh no, you didn't. See, I'm too old. We used to watch the cartoons of Hercules when I was a kid, in black and white cartoons. Herc, you know, and yeah, all that stuff. The Superman Hercules. He was half God and half man. So they understood that. The Greeks understood that. In their religion, they had this half-God, half-man thing. In fact, you can go back even further than that. We have the evidence of that recorded for us in Genesis, where we have Tammuz, who had a child, even after, Nimrod, the great hunter, you read about it in Genesis, he had a child after he died. How did that happen? Well, his wife explained that the God of the sun God came and impregnated her and she gave birth to this half God, half man. And his name was Tammuz. So that's really old history. That goes way back, even before the Greeks. The concept of God becoming man is not something foreign to the religions of this world, as far back as you can go. Now, that's all, of course, recorded in the mythology and the history of religions in this earth. But even further back than that, we have the record for us in Genesis, as Marty alluded to, the fact that God told Eve and Adam at the very beginning of this world, after they had sinned and fallen from God's graces, and they were found themselves helplessly and hopelessly lost, he said, listen, there's a way out of this. And I'm going to give you a son. Okay? And that son is going to deliver you from sin and death. He will be the savior of the world. He will be the one who comes and relieves you of this curse of sin and death. And throughout the Old Testament, we have recorded over and over again the story of a coming Savior. And in fact, for us, if you want to look again, Isaiah records this for us. Take a look at Isaiah chapter 7, if you will. And this is long before the birth of Jesus. If you want to look in your Bibles, Isaiah is one of those books that has many, many prophecies regarding the future events that will take place in Israel. And we have recorded for us in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 specifically. Isaiah here is given the word from the Lord. He says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. He will eat cottage cheese, it says curds, okay, and honey, and when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, but before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the hand of two kings, and it goes on and prophesies more. But this is specifically talking about the birth of Jesus. And it already has his name there. Now some of you are going to give my bulletin a lady, we call her, trouble and say, oh, it's not spelled I-M, it's spelled E-M. No, it's either one, all right? See, remember I told you about translating the language? And sometimes, you know, it depends on who's translating it and often how it's spelled and what the word means. That's something when those of you that say, I only read the King James. I only read NIV, or I only read whatever Moffat translation. There are so many translations of the Bible. The reason for that is because when you translate a language from one language to another, often there is not an equivalent word for that word. You get what I'm saying? And so they have sometimes to describe one word in Hebrew, they have to have a whole sentence or paragraph to describe that one word. Now when it comes to the names of God in the Bible, you're going to find there's some interesting names of God. I'm not going to get into that today. But you need to know that when you read in your King James or your NIV the word God, that actually in Hebrew, it's a much longer word, like Elohim, El Elyon, Yahweh, El Shaddai. There's a Baal even. There's a list of names that attributed to God, the word God. So thanks to your translators, they made it simple. They just used the word G-O-D. But if you go back and read the Hebrew, you'll find one of the names is Immanuel. Now, you say, well, then how did they come up with that? Now, what does Immanuel mean? God with us. Now, that's loaded. That's loaded. Because if you stick with the translation of God with us, and you think about that for a while, like a good Hebrew Israelite would do, God is with us. There's no question about that. It's not debatable. You can't theologize about it or philosophize about it. Immanuel means God with us. Period. Quotation marks. That's the name of God, along with many others. El Shaddai, El Elyon, the list goes on. What God is trying to say through Isaiah and other prophets of the Bible is that, listen up, folks, I'm coming in the flesh. I'm not just a cloud that hovers over Israel. I'm not just a powerful presence in the Ark of the Covenant in the temple. I am coming in flesh and blood. And you can't get around that. You can't explain it away. You can't theologize about it. You see, theology is more recent discipline. It came out of before the Reformation. It actually came out of probably around the 3rd, 4th century. There were so many people around that had degrees in theology that they all started arguing with each other, and so they had to get them all together and they had to debate. They had big debates over who was right and wrong theologically. But before that, people just accepted God's word for what it said. So when he said Immanuel, God with us, it literally meant that God was going to be here. He was going to pitch his tent. He was going to inhabit this earth in flesh and blood. Oh, now, see, I get in trouble with my artistic mind. It goes crazy. And then you add to it all this scientific stuff now that we can do. So you have God up there almost, well, I don't want to call him a chemist, but he is the original chemist. He did probably make up the chemical chart. All of you that took chemistry, big charts, you had to memorize all those things. That's why I never took chemistry, because I knew I could never memorize the chart. Just for beginners, I couldn't do that. None of it made any sense. Just letters, none of it made any sense. Some smarter guy than me invented that chart. But God's the original chemist, and he says, okay, I'm going to take the essence of God, the essence of the family of God, and I'm going to reduce it down to an embryo, and then I'm going to implant that embryo in a surrogate mother. Now, we understand that, don't we? 2,000 years ago, they go, don't get it. Ha-ha-ha. Mary has been betrothed to Joseph, and she has gone out and had a sexual relationship with somebody else. Shame on her. Joseph, you better get rid of her. Do not marry this woman. She is a loose woman. Do not marry her. poor Joseph, what is he going to do? He's a man of honor. And he believes he's marrying someone who also is a virgin and is a woman of honor. She came from a line that goes right back to Abraham. Both of them came from the blood of Abraham. What am I going to do? Thank God for angels, huh? Where are they when you need them? They come, they show up. Some of you have been heard the voice of the Holy Spirit, and you've maybe even seen an angel or heard an angel. I've met a lot of people, folks. They don't want to say it out loud. It's kind of like, oh, I saw a UFO, but nobody wants to tell anybody that they saw a UFO. And so we kind of equate that with seeing angels or hearing angels. We go, ah, come on, you know, what were you on, you know? No, I know that. Four generations of ministers in my family go back four generations. And there are stories, let me tell you, that I believe that my ancestors saw angels and were spoken to. And I had a grandmother that was healed. She was on the verge of death in the jungles of Indonesia. And an angel came in the room and touched her foot, and she was healed instantly. And some of you are saying, well, why doesn't it happen now? Well, it does. It does. Well, how can I get some of that? You know, that's something I don't have an answer for, other than God's will working in people's lives. Because I also had a grandmother that died in the jungles of Borneo. One was healed and one died. Why? Don't ask me that question. I'm 63 years old and I don't have the answer. I do not read the mind of God. I just know that when He sent Emmanuel to this earth, He gave all of us the opportunity to live eternally. Whether we die young or we die old, doesn't matter. We all live by the grace of God. Do you get it? And some are going to die young, and some are going to die old, and some are going to not see death at all. They're going to be translated. Hallelujah. I hope so. If the Lord comes soon, which I think He will, I hope I don't end up like the truck I saw on the freeway today, flattened dead. You know, the guy was dead. There was a yellow blanket covering him. I see far too much of that on the freeway. But whether I die today or I die 30 years from now, if I know Jesus, if I know Emmanuel, if I know God with us, then I have eternal life. Amen. Isn't that good enough for you? Huh? Isn't it? It wasn't good enough for me when I was young, like you millennials. Or Generation Xers or whatever generation. They gave all these generation names. It started with the hippies. And now they have names for every generation. I don't get it, but it's weird. What's the next generation going to be called? You're millennial. What, the younger ones. They don't have any, these little guys. Okay, what are they going to be? What are they going to call them? I don't know. Why? I just think it's great that we're all humans. And that we all should love each other, right? And we should all love the Lord too. But the thing that we have to remember, that it doesn't matter what generation we are, it doesn't matter what race we are, it doesn't matter what language we speak, it doesn't matter, as long as we know Emmanuel, God with us, we have eternal life. God does not pick and choose. And He's not politically correct, unfortunately. But He's going to choose to save you if you choose to follow Him. God with us. His presence is here. He chose to come and to make His presence known. And those He came to be with didn't even recognize Him. Do you recognize Him? You should. Because He's still here. He didn't take off and leave. Oh, physically He left, yes. But His Spirit is still here, present in the Holy Spirit. God is still here. He has not left. Okay? We need to acknowledge that His presence is here. We should not shun the presence. It's not a good idea. Because we find examples throughout the scriptures of people who did that, and it's a terrible price to pay for ignoring God and His Word. One of the examples I just might quickly point to, another name in the Bible. You might have heard the name Ichabod. Anybody heard the name Ichabod? I talked a little bit about this story several months ago when I was talking about listening to God, learning to listen. Samuel learned to listen to God's voice. And when God spoke, he acted. Unfortunately, the man that God gave a message through Samuel to was Eli. Eli had stopped listening to God. And God had a message for him, but he stopped listening. So God had to send a little boy, little Samuel, with a message. Eli, you need to get your act together. You need to discipline your sons. They're bringing a curse upon Israel. They are defiling the temple. They are defiling God's presence. Eli didn't listen. Make a long story short, the two sons, do we know, want to mention their names? I can't remember them now. Hophni, oh, there we go. Phinehas and Hophni, two sons. Sad story, but they both ended up dying in battle. And not only that, God's Ark of the Covenant was stolen by the Philistines in that same battle. And the poor wife was pregnant. And she, when she heard that her husband, Phinehas, had died in battle, and then she heard that the Ark of the Covenant had been stolen, she went into labor. She gave birth to a child. And his name was Ichabod. God's presence has departed. How would you like that name? How would you like to have that name the rest of your life, Ichabod? Maybe we shorten and we say that's Icky. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. But Ichabod, how would you like to have a name that means God has abandoned us? We are desolate. We are ruined. God has departed. We are cursed. Those are all meanings, translations of the word Ichabod. Talk about a bummer name showing up, you know, your freshman year in high school. I think I'd seriously consider changing my name, but that's the name he got. Ichabod. And the future of Israel was changed. The sad part of it is that when the messenger came to Eli and was told that his two sons had died in battle and the Ark of the Covenant had been stolen, he fell from his chair and broke his neck and died. Oh my goodness. God is with us. And we have a choice. We've talked about having a clear understanding of who God is. We've talked about how important that is to our mental health and our spiritual health and our physical health. How it's so important for us to put aside those crazy ideas we have of God. To accept God as to who He says He is in His Word. And He says, I'm with you. I'm right here. Hello. I'm here. Are you listening? I want to talk to you. I want to be near you. I want to be with you even when you're dying of cancer, like my sister-in-law. She felt God's presence to the very end. She told her family that as they stood around her bed a few months ago. My mother, 98 years old, the month that she passed away, I went to visit her one week and she said she was all excited and happy. She was blind. She could hardly hear. She said, I just saw heaven. I said, what, Mom? You saw heaven? Yes, I saw heaven. Well, Mom, you're blind. She goes, no, God gave me a vision of heaven. It's so beautiful. It's so colorful. It's so wonderful. And she just went on to describe this thing. Wow. You see, God never leaves us alone. Even if we're 98 years old and we're blind and deaf and we feel alone and our husband, my dad died 7-8 years ago, God was there. He was present. He made his presence known. He encouraged her. You see? Emmanuel. Emmanuel. God with us. We have a choice. And I want to underline that choice. Because it is a choice. Nobody can make the choice for you. Nobody else can make this choice. Your mom can't, your boyfriend can't, your husband can't, your wife can't, the president can't. Nobody can make this choice. You have to make the choice. Are you going to accept God with you, or are you going to be Ichabod? Well, that's what the Bible's there for, to tell us stories. And names have tremendous meaning. And they have tremendous power, too. And the good news is that the power of Emmanuel is that you have eternal life because of Emmanuel. Because he is here. And he promised, before he went back to heaven, to prepare a home for you, he promised his disciples and all who would follow in their footsteps, that includes all of us. He said, I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. I will be with you to the end of the earth. God with us. Emmanuel. Father, we thank you so much for Emmanuel. We thank you so much that you made it possible through your Son, Jesus Christ, to give us eternal life and give us hope. Give us a chance to once again return to your glorious presence in heaven. So Lord, during this time of year, help us not to forget Emmanuel, God with us. Help us not to get caught up and tied up in all the materialism and all the other things that go along with this. And let's not forget the babe in the manger, who was God in human flesh. We pray in your name. Amen.